Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Good morning, Nations Church. It's so good to be here this morning, and it's a joy to be able to celebrate with you on this amazing day. I feel like I've been administering at a number of Nations campuses. So, like, I remember not long numbers of years ago, I had this prophetic word of going around the nations, but I didn't realize I'd be going around the nations in WA. It's so good. So it's an honor to be here today. Let's just pray as we just prepare our hearts for God's word. Father, we want to thank you today for the joy of celebrating your word, that your word brings life. Lord, Holy Spirit, today come and blow us away. Fill our hearts fresh, Lord, with truth, not just knowledge, but the wisdom to make it work, the wisdom to figure it out, the wisdom actually to unpack it so that our lives are able to function in the way that we know you've designed it. Help us, God, to break free of any fear, break free of any control, break free of any kind of strongholds that hold us to functioning in a rhythm that is outside of you. In Jesus' name today, Lord, we surrender our thoughts, our hearts. Let the word snap us apart, break us open, and set us free. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Take your seats. You said amen to that prayer, so get ready for it. Let's go for it. I want to talk today, and it is a joy to be here. Thank you so much. My wife, Sue, sends her love this morning. She is actually pretty crook with the flu. So I said, babe, you just lay in bed and I'll come home and look after you when I'm back. And, you know, anyway, that's patting myself on the back, isn't it? But so she's just resting at home and she's praying for us. But we are just blessed by what God is doing in Nations. And if you haven't yet registered for their conference, for the conference that's coming, I want to encourage you. It's those being in the room in those moments. They take us out of just our normal rhythm and they put us in big moments where God can speak at an amazing level. So put yourself in that. You don't have to do much. Just put yourself there and open your heart and see what God does. It's fantastic. And so I really want to just echo that support. Today I want to talk about a message called Portals of God's Presence. Portals of God's Presence. And you know what a portal is? A portal is like a window. It's a special channel through which things can flow. And so you sometimes have a portal on the roof that's like a skylight that allows the light into your roof, that lights up the room. A portal on a ship which opens a window to the outside and shows you a picture, a scope of what's outside of the zone that you're in. And I feel like today God is reestablishing in some people that sense of his grace, his presence in your life, to give you a bigger picture, to take you out beyond where you've been. In fact, you've been saying, God, show me what to do. Help me to see outside of this. There's challenges, there's struggles. But God says the key to that is my presence. The key to that is accessing my presence and gaining my wisdom and insight. And so let's talk about God's plan. God's plan has always been for his people to have a sense of access to his presence. Portals of his presence. Access to his personal presence. And so when he originally created human beings, he created us in a world on the earth to have his presence with us all the time, to access that presence. And he, in the early days of that opportunity, what happened was human beings rebelled and disobeyed and they cut themselves off from the presence of the Creator. And so what God did was he made special places, everyone say places. This is the first distinctive. There were special places on the earth that were designed to give people access to the presence. Access to the presence. And the first place I can think of right now, for example, is the Garden of Eden. Eden was a special place. It was a high place. It was a place where heaven crossed over the atmosphere of earth. The literal presence, heaven's presence, was interfacing with the earth. A special place where God himself would visit. In fact, we read in the book of Genesis, in Genesis 3 verse 8, that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the midst of the garden. in other words, even though there was a sense of cutting off in the human sense from the presence because of sin, they still had special places, a special place that they could access the presence of God. In fact, we're told in Genesis that Adam and Eve hid themselves because they now became afraid. Before, when they were connected to God, they longed for that presence. But after they disconnected themselves, fear came in. Fear came, and fear is an enemy. I'm going to talk about that in a moment, an enemy that cuts us off from the presence of God. Here's the main point. God's plan was that you would know his personal presence, that people, his unique creation, would know his personal presence in their life. And so there was the Garden of Eden as a special place. Then there was Mount Sinai, where God came onto the mountain, and the mountain was filled with the glory of God. And Moses, in that time, received the Ten Commandments. He received, anyone seen the movie, The Ten Commandments? It's like so many people, one person, okay. So anyway, it was there that God gave the law, that Moses established the pattern for the people who were coming out of slavery under the control of Pharaoh in Egypt, 400 years plus of captivity and slavery, and God gave this nation a framework to build and to rebuild. In fact, the rudiments of that framework today are still in place, given 3,500 years ago. I think that's beautiful. Mount Sinai, it was a place where presence connected with earth and people could access, and in this case, it was Moses. In fact, he was so full of the presence of God, the guy put a veil over his face so he wouldn't freak people out. How cool is that? How would you love that? You know, you're so full of the presence of God, hey, dude, put the mask on. You're freaking me, man. You're freaking me right out. and then you've got the mountain. Then you've got the temple. The Temple of Solomon, which was again a place the nations could come and nations could gather. It was a place. Everyone say a place. It was a place that people could come and they could gather to experience the presence. It was like a portal of access. It was so powerful when they built the temple, when they launched into the offerings and the starting point of when the temple was completed. So powerful was the presence that the glory of God hit that place and flattened everybody who was there. Now, I wasn't there, so I don't exactly know what had happened. But what it says in the scriptures is that the presence was so beautiful and wonderful, people could no longer stand to minister under the weight of the presence of God that came into that place. How good is that? That's what I call revival. That's a revival meeting. You walk into the building, the presence, boom, and everyone's down. Wow. Everyone walks out completely, deeply encountered with God. God, bring those days back in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. We want God like that. Amen. And so you've got the Temple of Solomon, which again was a place. Old Testament reveals these special, unique places. Places of opportunity. Places that would give access to the presence of God. I read the story of Jesus in the temple. And we know this story. If anyone here is a fan of The Chosen, there's a great depiction on The Chosen of Jesus going in there and cutting loose at the temple. He's ticked. He is ticked. Now, I want to tell you something. It takes a lot for God to get ticked. He is very patient. Slow to anger, long-suffering, kind and gentle. If you want to understand the nature and character of God, he would be known for his patience and kindness 100 times more than for his anger and frustration. But there are some things that tick God off. And this is a story where the Son of God, God come in human flesh, came to his temple, his Father's temple. And what had happened was that the purpose of the temple, the purpose of presence, had been lost for the pressure of business. The purpose of the temple was for an access place of the presence of heaven, the presence of God. People could reconnect with God and have a deep personal sense of the presence of God. But what happened in that temple was people had taken another route and they'd allowed the pressure of business to replace the purpose of presence. I want to say to all of us today that is still for our own life, the same pressure and temptation that's on us. To allow your life to be removed from the purpose and the dynamic of God's original intention. And that was for you to be a carrier, to you to be a portal of the presence, and to replace it with the busyness, the business of life. In other words, filled with anxiety, not allowing trust, not allowing connection, but allowing yourself to be caught up in the spirit of this world. And it isolates us from the power that changed our own life to begin with. It isolates us from the energy and the strength we need to do our daily life. And so I want to unashamedly today encourage you to pursue the presence. Come back to the presence. Look for the presence in everything that you do. Not hide yourself. So Old Testament was a place. Old Testament, there were special places that were limited. But the New Testament, the presence wasn't in a place, it was in a person. In a person. When God looked at his children and realized the need, he decided that he himself would come in the form of his own son, and that he himself would restore his presence, not just to specific places, but to the people who would receive him. And instead of having a middle place or a kind of a mediation sort of place, he would come back and directly download his presence into the lives of those who open their heart. Colossians chapter 1. Oh, I feel the presence right now. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on. And so Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, Christ himself is the creator who made everything in heaven and earth. The things that can be seen, that we can see, and the things that we can't, the spirit world with its kingdom, kings and kingdoms, its rulers and authorities, all were made by Christ for his own use and glory. He was before all these things began, and his power, and it is his power that holds everything together. So God wasn't just interested in setting up a couple of places where people might or might not get to. He established his presence in a person so that that person could bring his life to all that accessed him. The Bible says Jesus carried the Father's presence to us, to people. John 14:6 is a classic verse that we sometimes think of in a geographical sense, that Jesus is the way, but the way to what? John 14:6 says, I am the way. Jesus speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What's Jesus saying? I'm the portal through which you access the presence. The very presence that I created for you to know in the beginning, that Adam and Eve were given, that sense of connection as children of God. I'm the way. Not your works, not some activity, not some performance, but me. Just connecting to me. there's another verse that I've recently read over the last month, and it talks about the emphasis of the presence of God in our life. I got blown away when I read this verse. It's in the Living Bible. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, check up on yourselves. Are you really Christians? What? Do you pass the test? Do you feel Christ's presence and power more and more within you? Or are you just pretending to be Christians when actually you aren't at all? Wow. That says to me that a child of God, I don't think that verse is about isolating, but what the writer of Corinthians is trying to say is the connection to God is the essence of true faith. The sense of the presence of God in your life, walking and talking and relating and connecting with God, that's the essence of being a Christian. That's the essence of being a follower. Not your performance, not what you do, not just your commitment, choice to rock up. It's the ability to connect and access the Father's love. It wasn't just for when you gave your life to Christ. It's for right now. It's for tomorrow. It's for your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's for your everyday. Amen. Now I'm starting to get wound up. We need the presence of God. We're made for it. We're made to know this presence in our life. And we live in a society that's full of addiction, full of dysfunctional brokenness. If you've listened to the news recently, some of the tragedy of things that are happening in our own state, in our nation. You don't have to go around the world and look at the problems of everyone else. We are struggling with a culture that has so many bizarre, crazy things. And the whole child protection thing that we see, if you've been watching the news, why do people do this stuff? Why? Why do people go into the sense of depravity, doing things that, anybody knows that that's depraved and weird and crazy, and a person in their right mind would never do that. Why do we do that? Why are we tempted? It's because there's a loss of the presence of God. There's an emptiness that people are looking to fill. There's something, a void within their heart. And so what do? We look for temporary solution-orientated things. Things that just give pleasure. Things that satisfy in the moment but don't last. Things that leave me addicted to needing more and more and more. Well, the presence of God, I'll tell you now, the presence of a God is an addictive substance. It's real. It's powerful. But it doesn't hurt anybody. It doesn't break anything. You don't have to rob people to get it. All you got to do is open your heart and receive from the Father. Through his son. You understand? It gives life. It doesn't bring death. It gives hope. It doesn't take away people's hope. It doesn't rape people of what they need. It blesses people and changes their life. So good. We need the presence of God. Why do I need the presence of God? Number one, it's because his presence gives us rest and peace. Exodus 33:14, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. My presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. Number two, it provides guidance for our daily lives to understand not just what's needed, but what to do, how to navigate in the things that we're to do. You know, God's presence is very personal, very personal. And when you live in the presence of God, it completely changes your life. I'll give you one instance of practical presence. I remember when I was about 24 going to work and just rushing to work, woke up in the morning, sort of half asleep, half awake, had slept in. But in the morning, I heard the voice of God speak my name. I now know it was the voice of God. In that moment, I didn't know who'd called me. I heard the voice. And I heard this voice speak to me and said, Phil, just like that. I kind of half woke up, looked at Sue. She was fast asleep. And then laid there again, closed my eyes, heard the voice again. Suddenly got up out of bed and went, who's calling me? What's going on? Looked at the clock and realized I was like 20 minutes late for work. And, from that moment, all I could think of was get in the car, get dressed, whack your food in the lunchbox, get out of here. So I'm screaming down the road at the right speed, I'm screaming down the road and thinking I'm going to get busted for work. I'm going to get busted and my boss is going to go off at me. Anyway, I'm driving, and then suddenly hear this voice. Comes left field, not thinking about this, and says, put your seatbelt on and do it up tight. This thought, all I'm thinking about is being late for work. Suddenly this thought that I know wasn't my own thought, and I felt the presence of God. That voice was the same voice that I'd heard speak to me that I didn't know whether it was audible. I sort of heard. Now I heard that voice internally. Heard that voice, put your seatbelt on and do it up tight. I put my seatbelt on, did it up tight, within 300 metres. Now, I should have had my seatbelt on already. I know. I'm a farm boy. Have mercy on me. But I put my there's some people going, what are you teaching our kids? I am sorry. I told you God's grace is wonderful. Anyway, I put the seatbelt on. Within 300 metres of putting my belt on, my car blew a tyre, spun, and landed in the gutter. Boom. Really hard. Had I not had a seatbelt on, I probably would have been thrown about in the car and done a lot more damage than I did. All I could think about in that moment, and I felt the presence of God on me as I sat there, all I could think about that moment was I've just heard the voice of God. Wow, that's amazing. And that voice and the presence has been with me all my journey as a Christian. All my journey, even in the darkest moments where I feel like I've lost my way, that it's been that presence that's drawn me back. And there are so many times where the presence of God has just been there to guide me and to help me, and just if maybe to remove peace when I'm making a wrong decision, to give me wisdom to that's not the right step, that to lose that sense of confidence. There's times where the presence of God will come in other ways, bringing healing, bringing strength. He'll remove fear. He'll all sorts of things. The presence of God is a constant source in my life now. In fact, I reckon 7 years ago, Pastor, I reckon 7 years ago I had a renewal of the presence of God in my heart, because I felt like 7 years ago, now I've been a Christian for 40 years and I've served Jesus since I've been about 19, but I've been through ups and downs, and some seasons where there's emotionally difficult, other seasons where there's been loss and grief and really difficult moments. And I think that I had been through a number of emotional traumas, a number of difficult, challenging things. And I think I had stopped trusting God. I'd stopped trusting God. I'd stopped allowing Him to be the Lord of my life. And I'd kind of taken back the control. And what was happening was, to the level that I'd taken back control was the level that my anxiety levels were increasing. And I remember being in a dark place. I felt like I'm not even a Christian anymore. I don't know where I'm at. God, help me. I know the Bible. I know your promises. But what is going on with me? What's going on? And I remember crying out to God, and the voice of the Holy Spirit just coming to me and saying, you have stopped thanking me. You've stopped thanking me for your life. You've stopped thanking me in your everyday. And I remember that in that moment, I had to repent and ask God, and I asked Him to restore His presence, asked Him to come back into my journey. And I remember starting a deliberate choice. Every morning when I get up, I'm going to thank God for three things. I'm going to choose to turn it around. At the moment, I feel nothing. I feel nothing. I felt a million miles emotionally from God. And I started just making a decision. In the morning, I got up. On the way to work, and I just thanked God for three things. And it felt like a lead balloon for about the first 4 days. Thank you, God, for the car that I'm in. Thank you. Thank you, God, for the, you know, like, you know, sometimes you do something, oh, God, are you really in this? God, thank you for the road that I can drive on. Thank you, God. Thank you for my wife, Lord. She's in bed at home and I'm going to work, but it's okay. Thank you, God. And then the next day, thank you, God, for the sunshine. Thank you, God, for giving me life. Thank you, God, that I can actually go to work and that I have a physical health in my body. The next day, thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for my marriage. Thank you, God, that you've given me a relationship with a great woman. Thank you, God, for... And I just started thanking God day three, day four. And the presence of God started to literally, tangibly come back. And over a period of a fortnight, as I started to pursue God again, it started to get my heart reset. Because what had happened was the portal, the pressure of the business had taken over the purpose of presence. You understand? The pressure of the business. Here I am pastoring and leading church and speaking into people's lives. But for me personally, the pressure of business had taken over the purpose of presence. And even though I'm a child of God, I put myself as a minister first with the pressure and all the leadership and all the responsibility. And I needed to come back and just simply be God's son again. And as I started to do that, the next fortnight, nobody else knew what was going on, but this is an internal journey that I started, and I just started to let go again and start to trust God. I started to thank Him, and then I felt the power in the morning. I remember the first morning I started to feel the power of the Holy Spirit start to come back, and when I started to thank, I felt like it's like, you know, when you rip a chainsaw and it's just nothing, because there's no fuel in that chainsaw. There's nothing there. It's just you. Yee, you know, like especially those new ones that you've got where you just pull it and then it goes. Anyone got a chainsaw like that? I got one. I was using it yesterday and I thought, this is killing me. It's supposed to be an easy start chainsaw. I don't know what else to do. What do you do with those things? I put it on choke again. Just ridiculous. But when I realized I'm out of fuel. I'm out of fuel. It was dark. Come on, have mercy on me. And so I got the fuel. Through the third time. It started going. Boom. And then it's away. Amazing. And that's what I did was started to, Thanksgiving literally was just opening the portal. Because what I'm saying is, I'm refusing to let fear, anxiety, and this is a prophetic word for someone here today. Hear what I'm saying. Prophetically, there's people here today who've allowed the portal of God's access and presence close. And it's a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of fear. And what's happened is it's clogging up your portal and robbing you of the power, the light, the wisdom, the revelation. And God says, begin to thank me, begin to praise me, begin to trust me, and it will open the portal again. It'll open the access again. It'll open up what God's designed. Because God's not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. That's not just a nice verse of the Bible. That's what God's word says, because he wants to unleash presence in your life. Now I'm starting to get excited. Okay, go easy, go easy. We need the presence of God because it gives us rest and peace. It provides guidance. It brings strength and courage. The presence brings strength and courage. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why is the presence of God? Why can I have strength in the dark valley? Because he is with me. The revelation, the sense of the presence of God. Hallelujah. The presence transforms us. It affirms our identity as children of God. It empowers us for mission and ministry. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It doesn't say you will go and witness for me, but the presence in your life, the power brings a sense of the witness in your life. In other words, what people see, they confirm is true with what you say. A person who just goes and witnesses to people, they're telling them something. But it's the power, it's the presence written of in Acts 1:8 that confirm what you say is matched by what they see. You understand? So exciting. It's the presence that gives us power for mission and ministry. It's the presence that gives fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Number 8, it's what our hearts long for. Our hearts long for the presence of God. 3 keys to keep the portal open. Let me just give you these 3 simple keys today. If you're writing notes, write these down. 3 keys to be an open portal of God's presence. Number 1, the first key is the key of humility. If we will trust ourselves and allow ourselves to be filled with pride, we will block that portal. Not because God is stopping his presence, but it's because we're not choosing his presence. And we're taking our own way, like Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were never blocked from God, but they chose to go another way, because God won't override your will, your choices. And so grace is given to people who have humility, have a humble heart, who are willing to, at a relational level, humility is not, well, I'm so humble. Man, I'm so impressed with myself, how humble I am. You know, I'm just getting better and better at this. It's just awesome. Like, man, I'm just blown away by myself. No, that's not humility. That's not humility. Humility is, in a relational context, it's trust. The measure of humility is the willingness to trust under pressure. And trust when things don't work out like I think. And let go of control when everything in me says control it. Dominate it. Don't give room for the grace of God. That's humility. Because I know that somebody greater has my back, has my heart, has my life in the hand. Number 1, everyone say humility. Number two, the second great key to keep ourselves open and our portal open to the presence of God is hunger. Everyone say hunger. Hungry. Hunger. What do I mean by that? Well, see, God promises to fill the hungry, not the empty. Sometimes we come into the house of God and say, God, I'm really empty. I'm really empty, God. God, I'm empty. God says, well, I know that. That's good. You haven't told me anything. And you might complain about your emptiness. You might complain about how unsatisfied you are. You might complain about a whole bunch of things, but God doesn't fill the empty. He fills the hungry. Here's the question. Have I come to God to complain and just dump my stuff? Or have I come to receive? Have I come to receive? Have I come to access? Have I come to lay down my crowns, my performance, all my excellence of self? Have I come to lay it at His feet? And have I come to receive everything that He has? John chapter 1, verse 12. To as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become children of God, even to those who believe on His name. In other words, power comes to those who are willing to empty themselves and trust and be hungry. Hungry for more. Are you hungry for more today? Are you hungry for more? Are you hungry to not just do the status quo and sit in the seat and never change? Are you hungry for transformation? Are you hungry and thirsty for God to do something He's never done before? Are you hungry and ready for God to do a supernatural work? Number one, humility. Number two, hunger. And the third thing, the third principle is the principle of holiness. Holiness keeps the portal open. Holiness. When I was a young believer, I used to think holiness was perfection. And that God's holy, so that must mean if we're going to be holy, it's this sort of pressure in my head to live to this perfect standard. The problem is we can't, because we're still human beings. We're flesh. And I just was so refreshed when I learned what real holiness is. See, holiness, it means to consecrate something for a special purpose. In the temple of Solomon, when they had the articles of furniture in the temple, remember I talked about the presence of God come, and the golden furniture, the candlesticks, the table of showbread, the Ark of the Covenant, the altar of incense, all these different things that were part of the temple of Solomon. When they had those, they dedicated each of those articles. And they performed a special service in the temple. They performed a special service. They were consecrated. They were set apart for a special and unique design. And they had something that they would function in. To be holy, to be a people that are holy, doesn't mean to live in the realm of perfection, because we're imperfect people. If you get close enough to us, we all got BO, me especially now that I'm sweating. All of us have got challenges, all have got things that we probably feel like we've got to get right, improve, get better at. Not one of us in this room can claim perfection. Me most of all. If I point a finger at you, there's three pointing right back at me. You know what I'm saying? None of us are here to judge. But we need to understand what holiness is, because if you have the mindset that holiness is perfection, that will alienate you from God and keep you filled with shame. It'll block the portal. But your calling in the sense of holiness is to be a people that are consecrated, living to that special and unique purpose. Our responsibility is to discover that purpose, is to go after that purpose, to live for that purpose. And that's why you need conference. Conferences are a big moment where you experience the presence of God in such a way that God begins to speak along the rows, and God can speak to you today. But in those big moments where you choose to set time aside to seek the Lord and His presence, in those moments the power of God moves in a supernatural way. God does amazing things and He reestablishes His purpose. You have been consecrated by God as a child of God. You have been consecrated. You have been set apart for a special purpose. And that purpose has not changed. That purpose is still just as relevant today as it was on the day you received Christ. God has a special plan and a special purpose for your life. Your way of glorifying God and keeping the portal open is not trying to be someone else, not trying to do something else. Just be who God wants you to be. You get what I'm saying? Oh my gosh, that set me free. When I was a young teenager, I just struggled with identity and insignificance, insecurity. And I can remember when I realized that I didn't have to prove anything to anyone, but God loved me. I lived before an audience of one. I'm giving up trying to prove anything. I remember at one stage, I was 17, turning 18, playing sport, and I was a football player, AFL footy player. I wanted to play league football because my dad was a league player, brilliant footballer. And all my life, I felt like I was living in this expectation to try and be something, try and do something. And I was frustrated because it never seemed to be what I wanted. I was angry. I was bitter. I was dark on the inside. The most liberating day for me was when God came and just showed me I don't have to perform anymore. I've just got to be who I am. That it's good enough for Him. He loves me as I am. He'll change me in the way He wants to. He'll work with me at the speed I can. For some people, that just sets you free. I was set free that day. I just thank God. We're consecrated for a special and unique purpose. You have a purpose on your life. You have a purpose. I had an encounter with God at 12 where I was miraculously healed from a car accident. And for 7 years, because I was afraid of what other people might think, I walked away until the age of 19 where God encountered me again and I gave my life to Christ. I just want to say that God's not keeping you from Him. He wants you to know Him and that purpose for your life. Number one, humility. Number two, hunger. And number three, hold. I'm going to read this verse and then I'm basically done. I'm just going to pray. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Listen to this. This is such a cracker of a Bible verse. Cracker means good, by the way. It says, "You have been chosen by God Himself. You are priests of the King. You are a holy and pure. You are holy and pure. You are God's very own. All of this so that you may show to others how God called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. All of this so that you may show to others how God called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." We love you, Jesus. And we want your presence. We want your presence. Lord, we want your presence. Come on, we're going to spend a few moments right now. I want you to lean in. Don't just sit and spectate. I want you to lean in. This is a moment of the presence of God just coming, and I feel the presence. I feel the presence of God. God's presence is in the house, but here's the most important thing you need to know. God's presence is in you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.